بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, the next lesson we learn from the seerah of Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم is the lesson of character building. Now these lessons which we are which we have been going through, these are not in order of priority, so it's not as if the first one is more important and the next one is less important. Just a listing. They are all equally important, and therefore it is, we must think about them and reflect on them. So the lesson we learn is the lesson of character building. If you think about this, two very critical incidents in the life of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم which point towards this. First is, even in the Ayyamul Jahiliyyah, even in the times of before Islam, pre-Islam, the thing that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was noted for, which is something which was commented upon, which is something which was appreciated even by his enemies later, was his truthfulness. He was given the title of As-Sadiqul Amin, the truthful and the trustworthy. And this title, even though when the opposition to Islam became strong, they called him somebody who is disrupting the social order. They said, they told him, they accused him of breaking up families. They said, because of you, fathers and sons are quarreling. They called him Majnoon, Nauzubillah. They said he's gone mad. But nobody ever called him a liar. This is very important to think about. Even Abu Lahab, I mean people like Abu Lahab, Abu Jahl, people who were vehemently against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and who literally ran campaigns. Abu Lahab went to the extent of going from person to person. The new people who came to Makkah, who would come to Makkah, Abu Lahab would go and meet them and tell them, don't listen to that man. He will drive you crazy. He's speaking against the gods of his ancestors and so on and so on. But nobody ever called him a liar. Now that's something to think about. I mean, you say, here, how? Why didn't they call him? They should have called him a liar. I mean, after all, you were calling him everything else. You're calling somebody mad, so what's wrong with calling him a liar? His truthfulness was so established, was so entrenched, was so, it was like saying the sun is dark, you know. And you might say, I don't like the sun. You might say it is too hot, and you know, you can say what you want. You can't say the sun is dark. Because that is not, the fact that the sun is bright is so absolutely obvious that nobody can say the sun is dark. You may not like the sun, that's a different issue. And that is what was the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now this character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam became the character of the Ummah. To the extent, the very beautiful hadith where somebody asked Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they said, Ya Rasulullah, can a Muslim steal? Is it possible that a Muslim can be a thief? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, this is possible. They said, can a Muslim be a drunkard? You know, can he consume alcohol? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, this is possible. Some people might do it. They said, can a Muslim commit zina? Can he fornicate? He said, yes, well, some people might do it. It's possible. They said, Ya Rasulullah, what is the sin that is not possible for a Muslim to commit? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a Muslim cannot be a liar. A Muslim cannot tell a lie. Just think about this. What kind of confidence did he have in his ummah that he gave them his own title? I mean, when he's saying that a Muslim cannot lie, effectively what does it mean? It means that the whole ummah is As-Sadiqul Amin. We have to think and ask ourselves this question. Today it is so easy for us. We tell lies for nothing. We tell lies as jokes. We tell lies. If I tell you I will give you this tomorrow and I don't give it, and I do not give you an excuse, and I don't call you before tomorrow and say you know, this is what happened, and then it's a lie, no? What else do you call it? I mean, I told you I will give you this, and I have not given you. Is that a lie or is it not a lie? So you are a liar. You do that 4-5 times, then obviously all reliance on you will go. Only a fool will believe you, because every time you say something, you don't deliver. So then you say, well, what is your credibility? Zero. What is your reliability? Zero. One time, okay, maybe somebody might say, chalo bhai, kya, but my point is, as far as I am concerned, I hold myself to the standard, I will not even do it once. I mean, if where is the excuse? My point is this, if you told somebody you will do something, the biggest excuse is, you know, I forgot. Okay, fine, we accept that one time. But even that to me is a slip up, because if I call myself a professional, I call myself a adult, I call myself somebody with some sense, how do you forget? Are you ignorant? Do you know, you don't know how to read and write? Make a note, no? What is the big deal? Take a piece of paper, make a note, write it on your wall, write it on your face, I don't care. I mean, you said you will do something, make a note to say, I have to do something for Hafiz bhai, I told him tomorrow I will give you. Now, obviously, something can happen, I am unable to give you, then what must I do? Send a message, make a phone call, send a telegram, God knows what. I mean, just make sure that before that time, you tell him, I told you I will give this to you tomorrow. This has happened, that is the reason why I ask you to please give me some more time. Fine, no problem. But I have promised it. I don't deliver. I don't give an excuse. I don't make nothing. I just ignore it. Now, he has to ask me. You know, what happened? You told me you will do this. Yesterday it was supposed to come. Today has gone. Tomorrow has gone. How shameful is this? Tell me. But we have lost all sense of shame. We do not feel shameful. If somebody asks us, now I will give you one long excuse. This is what happened and so on. And my grandmother went to my khala's house. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. This is our culture. I mean, unfortunately, if I was talking about some individual, you can say, Nahi sahab jaante ho, it is only one person. It's not one person. This is the majority of people. I won't say all, but this is by far the majority of Muslims. This is how we behave. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us a title. I'm talking about building of character. The fundamental principle of building of character is truthfulness. There's nothing below that. That is the basis, that is the foundation, that is the structure on which the whole edifice of character will stand. If a person is not truthful, then anything else is meaningless. So you might say, no, he's got such beautiful manners. Who cares? He's a bloody liar, man. I mean, who wants his manners? What will he do with his manners? No, he's so hospitable, you know, he always invites you for it. The man is a liar. The man is unreliable. He has no reputation. His credibility is zero. So his manners become zero, his hospitality becomes zero, everything becomes zero, because the fundamental basis is truth. This is what Rasulullah established. Now see the beauty of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. Suhayb al-Rumi radiallahu anhu. He was a slave. He was Yemeni. He had been kidnapped by the Romans, and then he grew up in some Roman town, so he used to speak Latin. And so he spoke Arabic with a little bit of an accent. So they used to call him Rumi. They used to call him, he's a Roman. He's not a Roman, he was an Arab from Yemen. But because of the accent, they used to call him this. Now he was sold as a slave, and one of the Quraysh in Makkah, they bought him. And he then was also he was very smart. He was very intelligent. He was a very good businessman. So he said to his master, he said, look, why don't, instead of, you know, me doing some manual work or something, I have this ability. Why don't I do business for you? You lend me some money, I will do business for you, and we will have a share in the profits. So the master said, no problem, go ahead. So he built this business, he became very wealthy. His master also became, obviously, his master was getting a, you know, share. So they both became very wealthy. Suhayb al-Rumi had a lot of wealth. Now, he migrated to Medina. I'm talking about the issue of truthfulness and the reputation for truthfulness. So he migrated to Medina. So he wanted to migrate. So when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had already gone to Medina, so Suhayb al-Rumi wanted to migrate. Now his master also knew that he was a Muslim. But again, because he was wealthy and so on, they didn't torture him and all this, which they did with the poorer people. They didn't do all this. But they kept a watch on him. They said, no, this man should not escape from here, because if he goes, my business will go fat. So they put guards on him and so on. However, he managed to escape. So when he managed to escape, they chased him. So a bunch of them went behind him. So Soyabar Rumi, now this is it's a high speed pursuit kind of thing, going behind him. So he found a hillock and he climbed on top of the hill, and these people, they surrounded the hill and they said, now you've got you, where will you go? So they started coming up the hill to get him. So on top of the hill, there were some rocks. So he got in the middle of the rocks and he shouted out, I have a bow and a quiver full of arrows, and I have got each one of you, your name is written on one arrow. He said, you know my reputation as an archer. So he said, if I shoot, I will not miss. So your name is on each one of you, your name is on one arrow. Now you do what you want. So now this was a stalemate. So he can't go anywhere. They don't want to take a risk because they will get killed. So there, you have to find a way out of this. I mean, you can't sit there forever. So Soyabar Rumi radiallahu anhu says to them, he said, I'll tell you what. He said, you are chasing me not because you love me, but because you are concerned about my money. He said, how about this? I will tell you where my money is hidden. You go take it. Now he's talking about how much money? His entire wealth. Everything he owns. Because he ran from Makkah. So he wasn't carrying his gold and stuff with him. Whatever, maybe he had some, a couple of dinar in his pocket. But other than that, he had nothing. He had just the clothes on his body, he's running. He said, I will tell you where my wealth is concealed. You go and take it and let me go. They said, okay, where is your wealth? He told them, such and such a place. They left him. They all went away. They left him and he reached Medina. When he reached Medina, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you have made a very good bargain. He said, you made a very good deal. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed him through Jibreel alayhi salam that this is what your companion Sahabi has done. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew this whole thing had happened. So he told him, what a bargain. What a wonderful bargain. Now what is the bargain? He chose Islam for his entire wealth. His whole wealth. He was a wealthy man in Medina, in Makkah. He arrived in Medina as a refugee with the shirt on his body. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, this is the greatest bargain that you could have done. Right? Now think about this. If you are one of the pursuers of Soyabar Rumi and the man says to you, I will give you my wealth, I'll tell you where it is concealed. What will you do? Everyone is there. You've got him in the right place. Now what will you do? Anyone with half a brain will tell you that you will send one person to go and check. Isn't it? Why will everyone leave and go? You would be crazy. I mean, people would say you're completely crazy. Why would you? Maybe the man told you a lie, man. How do you know that the wealth is actually concealed where he's telling you? How about we go there, we find there's nothing there, or there's some rocks or something, and the man lied to you? What is the only situation where you will leave, everyone will leave and go? When you are certain that this man cannot tell a lie. If he said it, it has to be true. That was the reputation of Muslims even with their enemies. Final true story, you might say, all of this is 7th century, 1400 years ago. I'll tell you this century. In South Africa, and this was told to me by one of their high court judges, and confirmed by many other people. In South Africa, during the apartheid regime, which is the Dutch Reformed Church, very fundamentalist, very strong Christians, white people. During their regime, Muslim witnesses in the court were not required to take an oath to speak the truth. Everyone else had to put his hand on the Bible and say, I will speak the truth and nothing but the truth. But Muslim witnesses, no oath required. They ask you a question and you will give an answer. So I said, why is that? They said, because Muslims don't tell lies. SubhanAllah. अजीब बात है, मुस्लिम्स डोंट टेल लाइज. सैडली दैट इज नो लॉन्गर द केस इन साउथ अफ्रीका, एंड साउथ अफ्रीकन मुस्लिम मस्ट थिंक अबाउट दिस एंड से हाउ कम यू डिस्ट्रॉयड योर ओन रेपुटेशन. बट दिस वॉज आई एम नॉट टॉकिंग अबाउट 14th सेंचुरी, आई एम टॉकिंग अबाउट राइट नाउ. दिस इज वॉट वॉज हैपनिंग. आई मीन दिस होल थिंग 1995 इज वेन दे बिकेम इंडिपेंडेंट, सो इज नॉट दैट यू नो 20 ईयर्स अगो और लेस. दिस वॉज द केस इन आवर मॉडर्न वर्ल्ड टूडे. Muslims don't tell lies. We need to ask ourselves, what have we done to ourselves? Inshallah, more tomorrow. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.